Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And today we thought we'd talk about something I deal with all the time. Lois has more recently been dealing with it, but the whole car share service system, the Lyft versus Uber, Uber versus Lyft. I initially started with Uber a couple of years ago, and I found out about Lyft, so I've been doing both for a number of years. And generally, the experience, the in-car experience, is the same. I can say that. And very often, the same people, you'll meet a driver, and they'll be both Lyft and Uber. But there are some differences in how those two companies are run, and I thought we could give you some insight into that. Now, first of all, let's talk about the experience. Being in the car, difference between Lyft and Uber, pretty similar for you, Lois?
Yes, very similar. The only thing is that I think that Lyft, the software, is a little bit more advanced because I think you're able to identify where the car is better, even though Uber software shows you that, the car that's coming to pick you up. And I'm pretty sure, I don't think Uber has this, but you actually get to see the route that the driver is going to take to your destination. And I just feel, and I mentioned it to several drivers who drive for both Uber and Lyft, and I asked them about that, and they said, yes, I was correct. The Lyft software on your app is better than Uber. And it's funny because another driver said to me, interesting, Uber number one, and yet the second person gets it better. So then Uber will probably make improvements as well.
Right. And they have actually changed their app a couple of times, but I agree with you. I think Lyft has a little user-friendly, you know, their app is a little bit easier to use than the Uber app. But another thing, too, is I think in Lyft, you can always see the color of the car, whereas
right.
in Uber, it just tells you the type of car, but doesn't tell you the color. And if you don't know your car types, color is pretty important. So I think that's another slight advantage to Lyft. One thing I had learned, and before we go into the politics with the Trump administration and whatnot, was that even before all of this, I had always heard, and I'm not even sure it's true, but I've heard it from several drivers, they make a little more, a bit more money on Lyft than they do with Uber. So for that reason alone, if all things are equal, I go with Lyft. I think it's a little bit cheaper for me. I always think that Lyft is slightly cheaper than Uber, but the fact that the driver makes more money on the ride with Lyft always made me lean to Lyft a little bit more than to Uber.
I don't know that for a solid fact,
but that's what I was told.
But also with Lyft, they give you an option to tip the driver.
Right.
And a lot of people, of course, don't want to tip. They love the whole idea of just walking in to the car, still continuing to do their crossword puzzle on the New York Times, sit there and get out and, you know, just, you know, it's like as if their own private chauffeur. They don't have to interact with the driver. But if you have Lyft and you're out of the car and afterwards the sum of what your ride comes up, you always have the option to give them $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. And it's very nice because most of the drivers that I've met in the last few years on both Lyft and Uber have been nothing but accommodating and a delight to be with. You know, so, you know, sometimes you just feel so good about the ride because they're so nice that, you know, you want to give them, even if it's just a buck, you just want to show them that, you know, you appreciate them. When you get into one of these cars that a lot of people that are listening have never used this service, I mean, they're asking you, would you like some water? Is the temperature of the car okay? Is this music bothering you? Would you like to power up? I've got several devices here that I could power up, your Samsung, your Android, your iPhone, whatever you have there. You know, they're just a delight. So, you know, so, but let's get to, you know, why we're really talking about them today.
Well, okay, so here's the controversy with that. So, again, even before all this, I always felt the company that ran, the people behind Lyft were a little more, less abrasive than the people, the man in charge, I can't think of his name, but the boss at Uber, who was kind of abrasive to begin with. So that always made me lean a little bit more to Lyft. Then more recently what happened is that Donald Trump put the head of Uber onto one of his business advisory councils of some kind. And then we had that big, the protest over the immigration issue, there became a picket line where cabs weren't crossing the picket line, and Lyft decided it would not cross the picket line. Uber decided it would cross the picket line. So all of a sudden, that became a real point of contention. A lot of folks then rejected Uber for doing that. Lyft, on the other hand, decided it would donate $1 million to the ACLU, again, about the immigration issue. So there became the two companies became at political odds with each other. Since that time, Uber has left Trump's advisory council and is trying to backpedal to, you know, be in the same place as Lyft. But this is sort of where it lays at this moment. Did I summarize it correctly?
Yes, I just want to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, his name is Travis Kalanick, K-A-L-A-N-I-C-K. And really what he did was that the yellow cabs, the taxi cabs, when they heard about the, you know, the ban on immigration, they decided to voice their opinion, and they boycotted picking up passengers that were coming out of the airports just to have
Correct.
Their voice heard. And Uber thought, hey, this is great. You know, we will discount our prices so more people take Uber that never experienced it before from the airports, and this is a great gateway for us to get more customers. And really, the world got very, very angry at them because they felt like this whole immigration thing is so important to people on both sides of the fence. And, you know, to have Uber come in and, you know, kind of
and,
like...
And basically cross the picket line. They,
right. Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, they crossed it. And Lyft chose not to cross the picket line. And then also the company decided to give $1 million towards the ACLU. So
right.
It definitely put the two car share services at odds with each other. Like,
right.
But I guess Uber recognized what a public relations guffaw they had, and they have, you know, retracted a bunch of things because obviously they got hurt.
They got hurt because of social media. People would do
right.
Hashtag, you know, delete Uber, and people who wanted to feel good about what's happening in the world today deleted Uber as an app. And they lost, I read about it, they lost several hundred thousand customers. Trust
right.
me, if the CEO, Travis Kalanick, if I said his name correctly, had his choice, he would never do that because his first allegiance is to his company. He didn't realize the outcry of what would happen. A lot of people are so angry with him that they will never go back. And this, I mean, we don't know yet. We don't know the ramifications of really what's going to happen to Uber now. Uber was, you know, the big lead, you know, I forgot the company.
They were definitely the number one car.
Yeah, they're the number
service,
one
no
lead, and Lyft was a distant second. And now, you know, Lyft could really become the darling of the industry, even though some people question, like, wow, what a PR move. All of a sudden they're writing a check for $1 million. Both companies haven't made a profit since day one, and they're writing $1 million check to the ACLU. But, you know, everybody's got their business reasons and everything, but Uber might live to regret it. I feel bad for them because I understand public relations, and it was really a dumb move to do that.
And in respect to Uber, they did, did actually bow out of Trump's
right.
advisory council. So that was his way of making amends, or try to make amends.
But that's like saying I robbed a bank and oops, I made a mistake, so I want to put the money
yeah,
back.
Well, that's
yeah,
exactly
yeah.
what it is. But that's exactly what he did. So oops, I made a mistake. So he,
right.
you know, I trust me, if the situation develops again, I'm not quite sure how it will, but if it does, you know, Uber won't put itself in that same position again. I think they probably have learned something.
Right.
It's interesting that these two rideshare companies are at odds with each other. I still don't know if this turn of events made Lyft above Uber. I still think Uber is probably still number one. I don't know the numbers on it, but it definitely was something. And I took Lyft during those days, and it was certainly what we talked about in the car a lot. So the drivers are very much aware of all of this. It's not like this is all happening on a corporate level. This is really a grassroots in the streets kind of fight, a
And
street fight.
especially since a lot of the drivers are immigrants themselves, you know,
Absolutely.
yeah, they're all like, whoa, what the hell is going on? But I did want to bring up something to people that are listening. It amazes me in this world how many people have still not taken advantage of Uber and Lyft.
Oh, it's
They
crazy.
don't get it. They don't understand it. I'm arguing with people. They think it costs more money, you know, to take it. It does not. It's much less money. Yes, there are sometimes there's a surge in pricing because it's a heavy rush hour or something happened. But 9 times out of 10, it could be half the price of a regular cab. And I love cabbies, but you're talking about a personalized service that unless you use it, you do not understand what a convenience and what a blessing it is. I mean, I just came back from New York where, and I'm in Miami now, where I had to take, you know, transportation like 12 times to get from different appointments during the day. And I would reach out to Lyft or I reached out to Uber, depending on when this thing happened. And cars were there within 2 minutes. I told you how nice the drivers are. They run out, they open the door, they open the door from the inside. You jump in, you're not hailing a cab, you're not competing with people on the street, you're not standing in the cold. It's just like a personalized chauffeur. And, you know, I could have taken it 12 times and I don't think I even spent, you know, $100. I mean, it was just amazing and I was able to be
For me,
productive. Yeah, go ahead.
it's been life changing because, as you know, I travel around the country, so I'm always in a different city. Up and for years and years, I'd have to depend on cabs. I'd wait on cab lines. It was very frustrating. In cities like Washington, D.C., the cabs were always inferior. There was junk in the trunk. You could wait 40, 45 minutes to be picked up for a ride. It was to get to the airport. I actually missed a flight once and almost missed a flight a second time because of cabs. It created so much anxiety and stress in my travels. Once we converted over to this car share system with Lyft and Uber, it's been life changing. It's so much easier for me to get around. I don't worry about it when I'm getting out of the plane, thinking, how am I going to get to my hotel or get to my friend's house or get to a TV station? I know it's going to be done easily. I can see where the car is on the map. I don't have to get out of the car and think, do I have change on me? Because they won't be able to take credit cards because their credit card machine's broken. All that stuff is gone. You just say goodbye, thank you very much, and the transaction happens automatically. The price is much lower, so I'm saving money. It's absolutely been one of those disruptive things in our society that has been a disruption for the better and truly life-changing. I am grateful to the folks behind Uber and Lyft for making my life a little bit better. So I'm a big fan of both car services.
And I want to say on the reverse side, because I've had many conversations with the drivers and so have you, I mean, this has been a great supplement to people who either lost their jobs or claim they're too old and they can't find a job or a second income to a household. This is, and every driver, I've not heard one driver complain that. You know, it was a bad job for them. They love the flexible hours. They like being in control of their own destiny. And it's kind of like a gentleman's job. You know, cab drivers were kind of like looked down, oh, you're a cab driver. Like, you know, like that wasn't a worthy cause or, you know, not a, you know, polished career. Uber drivers, most of them have another career. They could be in the arts. They could have a financial consulting company on the side, but
Yep.
they just want to get out of the house and meet people and regenerate, reboot themselves, or, you know, people that are looking for jobs. I mean, it's amazing. You hear these stories and you feel the way America should feel. You feel like you're all in it together and you're all fighting for, you know, everyone to make a decent living and be at peace and be happy and prosper and, you know, get the fruits of their labor. And it really is a beautiful experience.
To add to what you're saying, my Uber, Lyft drivers have been college professors. They've been authors. They've been writers. They've been, I had a French professor. I mean, I've had such an interesting cavalcade of characters, including people who have been in this country for 3 weeks, 3 months, you know, newcomers to America who are trying to make a go of it. It's invigorating. So yeah, I think it's a great experience, and it's like I said, it's one of those disruptive things that's new with our technology that has been such a benefit, I think, around, you know, maybe not to cab drivers, but to the rest of us, it's been just a great experience.
So I think that wraps it up.
I agree. So you folks who haven't downloaded that app, download it. You'll love using it. Oh, I'm going to add one more thing and then I'm going to go. This had never crossed my mind before until this car service came out. I'm actually thinking about not having a car. I mean, it's really a possibility. I mean, I have, you know, I lease my car one after another. I've been doing that since, I don't know, I'm 20 years old. And at this point in my life, I really think I almost rather not have the car and take Uber or Lyft everywhere. Certainly, there's no parking to think of. There's no insurance. There's no gasoline. It's just the cost of when I need it, I use it. So I'm not there yet, but it's certainly heading in that direction, and I could see why folks, especially maybe as you're getting a little bit older, might want to get rid of your car and just depend on it, because it really is that cost-effective and easy to use. So keep that in mind as well. Just I thought I'd add that before
we wrap. And by the way,
when
Ellie and I travel and we go into a hotel, like we go into a hotel in California, that shall remain nameless because I don't want to malign them, but they're on Sunset Boulevard, and they charge you $50 a day to park your car. And some days you don't use your car at all. So if you take Uber and you're spending $20 a day or $30 a day, you know, in you know, transportation fees, it's far less than renting a car, worrying about it, taking your luggage from the airport to the, you know, the car, you know, to the rental service for a car, Hertz, Avis, and standing online, then taking the car. It just, the cars are there, they pick you up, you bring it to your hotel, and it's just like having your own personal chauffeur. Until you've experienced it, you have no idea. By the way, here's a prediction. One of these car, Uber and, you know, Lyft and all the other services like them are all startups. My prediction is, and actually it's not mine, I think I stole it from someone else, that one of the rental cars is going to buy them up, and that's where they're going to be making a, you know, just tons of money, because the rental cars are going to soon realize that, you know, that they're losing money to the car sharing services.
That makes a lot of sense. I could totally see that. As long as they leave it alone, because really, I never think of it as a company owning them. I don't think I'm paying Lyft or I'm paying Uber. I'm really, it's the driver's business. He's the one who sets his hours. It's his car. He makes the lion's share of the money on the fare. So it's really about that driver. So I always feel like this is all about entrepreneurship of the driver, and I try to disconnect it from the corporate side of it, which is the corporate side of Lyft and Uber. But, yeah, I could definitely see a Hertz or one of those rent-a-car companies getting involved in it. On that note, I think we should say goodbye. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And once again, we have been Lying on the Beach. So long.
Bye.